of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. And this is a wonderful verse, a great statement from the lips of the Apostle Paul. God obviously is guiding this great servant of God as to what to write to Timothy. And he's instructing Timothy that this is a great saying, a true statement he wants Timothy to take on board and preach in his service. So listen to 1 Timothy verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sometimes we are apt to stop there, but the verse goes on to say, of whom I am chief. So Paul is making this great statement, and then he adds his own personal testimony. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we look to God again, as we always do, night after night. We don't just say that as a matter of course. We really pray as Christians that God's word will be blessed in your hearing this evening. I've chosen this great text of Scripture this evening, and you might think, well, where is the link with true fulfillment? Well, this verse comes from the heart of a man who really tried many different areas of life to find true satisfaction and true fulfillment. And he only found true satisfaction and true fulfillment when he came face to face with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and yielded his life to him in submission and trusted the Lord Jesus as his own Saviour. You see, this man, Paul, was not always the great servant of God from early days as we maybe think he was. He was a mature man when he trusted Christ, and he tried different things in life before he became a Christian, and he sought for fulfillment, he sought for true satisfaction, but only found that missing piece in the jigsaw of life when he came face to face with the claims of Christ. And may I tell you, from personal experience, that is true for every Christian. You might try a whole load of things to get satisfaction. As we were saying last night, you might be filling your life with entertainment and amusement, but that does not equal true happiness. You might think that money, that elusive thing, maybe in your case, will solve all your problems. Well, money might buy you food, but it will not buy you an appetite. And it might buy you a bed, but it will not buy you sleep. And true happiness and true contentment and true fulfillment and true peace with God are only found through a right relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul sums it up like this. He wants everybody to hear this message. He wants everybody to listen to this truth. Because like Paul's day, it's the same in our day. You can't always trust what you hear from men. And truth sometimes is in short supply. And I'm certainly no politician, and we don't want to get involved in politics. I remember one time preaching in the open air, and somebody said, it was when Tony Blair was the Prime Minister, and somebody said, are you another Blairite? And well, my name is Blair Martin, but certainly that's where the link ended. No, I'm no politician. But in a world of spin doctors, in a world of insincerity, in a world that is crying out for truth, absolute truth, in a world where there's no absolutes, where there's nothing but grey areas and shady politicians and all that kind of a thing, in a world where there's the absence of truth, here is a true saying. Here is a faithful saying that you can put your implicit trust in. You can put your faith in this great saying. And Paul says this is a true saying. It's worthy of your acceptance. And this just sums up the mission and the experience And the message that Paul wanted to relay, what was it? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, it has worked for me. It has worked for me. And it can work for you. He says, Timothy, keep this at the forefront of your preaching, because this is the answer to life's big question. Fulfillment. True satisfaction. And Paul, he certainly was qualified to speak about true fulfillment. As a young man, he thought that religion would fulfill him. You might think, wait a minute, you're not going off point here, Blair. Is this not a religious meeting? Is this not the whole point of the meetings? No, far from it. You don't find salvation in religion. If you want to find true fulfillment and true salvation, you find that in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul thought that religious observance would bring him peace, inner peace with God, would get him close to his Maker by observing the rules and dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And he religiously ticked all the boxes to try and have a right relationship with God so that religion would fulfill him. But that just brought him short. Because with all his law keeping and with all his observance of dietary laws and Jewish law, etc., he just had that aching void in his heart that religion could not fill. He says in the book of Philippians chapter 3, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I'm the stock of Israel, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And it wasn't as if he was in one of the top classes as religious observance goes. He was far and beyond and away above every other class. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And if religion got you to heaven, Paul would have been first in the queue. But religion doesn't get you to heaven. Religion is man-made. Many people are religious but not right with God. And I hope you're not one of them tonight, because you are sadly deluded and on the way to hell. But maybe you think that, well, the opposite perhaps is true of you, and maybe you've got no time for religion and all you've got time for is yourself. And you just want to be selfish in your life to the exclusion of everybody else. And maybe you have gone on a crusade of abuse of your body with chemicals or alcohol or whatever it might be. And you think that will fulfill you. That ends in disaster. And that also ends in hell. Bible makes it absolutely clear that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. All these things, whether it's religious observance or whether it is just filling your boots with sin and with alcohol abuse and with drug abuse and maybe every other kinds of excess and abuse, that is just the wicked heart of sin in you being manifested, and it doesn't fulfill you. You only have to look at men like George Best. You only have to look at men who have spent their whole lives in debauchery and abuse. Are they fulfilled? Far from it. I remember really getting close to a man for at least 5 years. His name was John Dewar. He lived in the next village from where I live. And he came to gospel meetings. I got so friendly with him, I really counted him as a friend. I visited him every single Friday, and he looked forward for me coming because I gave him a shave. First time I'd ever shaved anybody else apart from myself. And while I was giving him a shave, I would pour the gospel into his ears. And one day I said to him, John, I said, listen, man, it's like this. It's your sin or the Saviour? Because he was an alcoholic. And all he cared about was getting drunk. Lost his job, lost his family, lost his dignity. Sin stripped him of everything. I says, it's the Saviour or your sin, John. He looked at me straight in the eye as I was shaving him. He says, I'll take my sin. I'll take my sin. I says, will that fulfill you, John? Is that, you weren't made for that. We were made for God. We're made in the likeness and the image of God. And every single one of us were God conscious. And our chief end on earth is to glorify our God and to love our God with all our heart and soul and mind and love our neighbour as ourselves. And the only way we can do that is if we believe in God's Son, God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and find truth, salvation and satisfaction in Him. He says, no, I only care about the here and now. I buried him last January. 56 years of age. I will never ever forget going to his sister's house the night before the funeral. I've never seen a dead body before, and I don't want to see one again. And she took me into the bedroom, and there was John's remains in a coffin. And she says, you've just come in time. And she was putting a half bottle of whiskey in the coffin and 20 cigarettes and his favourite sweetie. How deluded, how sad. He died as he lived, unfulfilled in a wreck of humanity. Please, please don't follow in his footsteps. Oh, Paul. One end of the spectrum, he says, I tried religion. I tried education to fulfill me. There's nothing wrong in education. It's a different subject totally from what I've been speaking about. But Paul really sat at the feet of a great teacher, Gamaliel, and he must have learned great wisdom and philosophy as well as religion. But that didn't cut it for him either. That did not fulfill him. And please, in this centre in Oxfordshire, in this centre of learning and academic prowess, do not waste your life by only focusing on what is temporary and for this world. You seek the Lord while he may be found, and you call upon him while he is near. Because yes, education in its place is all right. But if you miss Christ and all you've got is education, it's all wrong. No, Paul tried everything. He then became a radical zealot. He thought to himself, well, I will please God by banishing the very name of Christ and everybody that follows his way. I will go like a madman and I will destroy Christianity. And that's what he was doing the day he left Jerusalem to go to Damascus. He left with a letter from the high priest to go into the city of Damascus and to arrest and hail everybody who named the name of Christ back to Jerusalem for punishment. But as he's getting from Jerusalem to Damascus, God intervened. And at midday, God stepped in. Oh, Paul had murder in his mind. He had hatred in his heart. And he's getting nearer from Jerusalem to Damascus. But at midday, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared from his glory in heaven. And he said, Saul, Saul, that was his name before he became Paul the Apostle. That was his name in unconverted days. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the proud, educated, religious Jew falls from his horse, falls to the ground, is blinded. He's not the proud Pharisee now, but he is a guilty sinner standing before the Lord of glory. And the Lord Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? Why are you going about hurting my people? Because when you hurt my people, you hurt me. And it just seems to dawn on Paul, what a revelation. What a life-changing encounter with Christ. All that he had learned, all his religious observance, all his radical zealot behavior, all his violence and all his hatred just seemed to evaporate. And he says, Lord, you're the one I've been persecuting. You're the one I've been running away from. He was the one that he was in denial of. Paul was in denial with regards to his need as a sinner and with regards to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who he needed. And maybe that's where you are tonight. You've just got this blinkered approach to Christianity, and Christ is not your Savior. He's not the Lord of your life. And that is the missing piece in the jigsaw. That is the source of fulfillment. Christ is the answer to your need. He is salvation that you need. Not reformation, not religion, but salvation. It's not a new start in life, but a new life to start with. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's exactly what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. Now, you read Acts chapter 9, please. Please do, but don't you expect any light shining from heaven and any audible voices. That does not happen. God speaks through his word. And there was only one occasion in the Bible, one experience like that, and it was Paul the Apostle, when there was lights from heaven and the voice, the audible voice was heard. But you need what Paul got. He got Christ that day as his Lord and Savior. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? From that moment on, that moment of acknowledging his need and his sin, and that moment of repentance and true revelation that Jesus Christ, the man he sought to wipe his very name from the face of the earth, was the Son of God, was the Lord of glory who died at Calvary for his sins, and he got converted that day. He got saved. He got rescued. He got a new life. He got a new purpose. He got fulfilled. And you say, but I've read about the life of Paul after that. He got shipwrecked when he was serving God. He got stoned. He got left for dead. He was almost beaten to death. But Paul was doing God's will. And Paul was truly fulfilled. Now I want to ask a question tonight. What makes you tick as an individual? What gets you from day to day? What motivates you? Is it trivial things? Incidentals? Or do you have a real, deep, settled peace that comes from a right relationship with God? Christianity is not about religion. It's not about a code of rules that you have to follow and boxes to tick. It's about a right living relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm not asking you if you were if you were brought up out of routine to this hall, and as a result of familiarity, you've known what to say and you've known the right words, but there's no reality in your heart. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you tonight, if you truly are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you a genuine Christian who's got the assurance of God's salvation, who's got the Spirit of God abiding in them, and has the hope of heaven at the end of life's journey? Have you got true fulfillment? Or is it just false? Is it just make-believe and pretend? Paul was the genuine article. As they say today, he was the real, genuine article. And he turned his back on all the past. See, one of the great signs of life and the true affirmation of true Christianity is when someone turns away in repentance from sin and places faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is so repentant that they don't go back to what they formerly were. Christianity does not make you sinless, but Christianity certainly makes a change. I wonder, are you saved tonight? Are you fulfilled? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? What does Christ mean to you? What does salvation mean? Is it real, vibrant living? I hope it is. Well, what did Paul do from that moment he got saved? He made it his mission to live Christ, to preach Christ, and to please Christ. It's not bad, eh? If we could follow as Christians right now, if we could follow to live Christ, to preach Christ, and to please Christ, that'd be something to take home, wouldn't it? He served him. He lived for him. He pleased him. Why? Because he loved him. Do you love the Lord Jesus tonight? Do you love him because he first loved you? Can you say like Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Do you love him because of what he did at the cross at Calvary when he died for your sins? Has the light ever dawned on your soul that your sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died on the cross for ungodly sinners? And when you come into that personal appreciation that on the cross he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, I had done all the sinning, he did all the suffering for my sake, that's why I love him. I deserve to die, I deserve eternal punishment, but Christ stepped in. This is what Paul preached. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is what Paul preached. He preached about the person who saves sinners. He's the answer to the problem of dissatisfaction. Oh, the world sings about it, and yet it's not found through a psychedelic haze of drug addiction or mind-altering drugs or anything like that. It's found through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a person who saves sinners. How often in the gospel do we preach this? That I am the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's why Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we're your servants for Christ's sake. The Bible has one message. It's got one proclamation. It's got one man to present, and it's the person, Christ Jesus. Christ reminds us of his Messiah title. He's the Anointed One. He existed before Bethlehem. He's the promised Messiah. And Jesus reminds us of his earthly name that was given at his birth. He shall save. The very meaning of his name reminds us of the purpose of his coming. He came, as we've been reminding the children night after night, to seek and to save the lost. What a person is presented here. This was Paul's motto in service. This was his mission statement. He did not want to miss the mark. He did not want to miss the opportunity. And may I say to you tonight, if never before, waken up to your need of Jesus Christ to fulfill you in life, to save you from hell, and to fit you for heaven. This is God's way of salvation. This is the person who saves sinners. I wonder, do you know him? Ah, some people think this is mystical nonsense and emotional blackmail, but this is reality. This is truth. 2,000 years ago, you can't deny it. It's an undeniable fact. 2,000 years ago, Christ Jesus did come. And he came because he was sent of the Father. But he came because of love in his heart to do the Father's will and to do the Father's work and to rescue, salvage, save sinners. What a mission. And Christ Jesus came into the world. He came uniquely. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Became a real, perfect, sinless man. A real man. Not an angel. Some poisonous doctrine will be put to you at your door. No, he was a real man. Without sin. And he came with a mission to save. Only he could save. Because he's God's son and he's a sinless man. He was fully qualified to do the work, to do the task. The tremendous task of providing a way of escape for guilty, fallen sinners like you and me from the judgment of God, to be rescued from the judgment of God, which ultimately means hell and the lake of fire. Christ Jesus came in to save men and women from that. And if you live apart from Christ, and if you live in denial to your need, and if you die as you live like my friend John Duer did in Scotland last year, if you die as you live in your sins, you will face the judgment of God. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, the wonderful person who saves. Oh, the almighty purpose of God in salvation. This is an eternal purpose. God is a God of salvation. He's a God of matchless love. He's a God of amazing grace. He's a God of absolute holiness. His divine attributes remind us that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just. He cannot tolerate sin, but in his amazing grace, he's devised a means whereby banished, unclean, defiled sinners can actually be forgiven, pardoned, cleansed. How do they do it? They come into contact by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners. The work was done at Calvary that has satisfied God. And when we agree with God and rest where God has rested on the finished work of Jesus Christ, we find true fulfillment. We find true satisfaction. I can say honestly tonight, and God knows my heart, and I do believe that every Christian would back me to the hilt, that not for a million worlds, for a million pounds, or a million worlds, or all the possessions of this earth, I would not exchange what I have right now for any of these, the world's riches. I honestly, as we were saying last night, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No, the great almighty purpose of God was to rescue and redeem. And the wonderful thing is this, that this is not theory. This is not platform rhetoric. This is reality, because Paul said, I have experienced Christ Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners. And in order for him to save sinners, he had to die at Calvary and give his life. The only man that deserved to live gave his life in ultimate sacrifice, but rose again the third day. And now he lives in the power of a resurrected life. Paul says, there's great potential. And everybody that you preach to, Timothy, could remember what he did for me. I was the chief of sinners. And he saved me. He saved me. Ah, oh, maybe you think you've hit rock bottom. Maybe you think you're the chief of sinners. Well, can I tell you, you're in good company, because the great apostle Paul recognized himself as an undone sinner in the sight of God. You see, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and stand under his cross at Calvary and by faith accept that he was there on your behalf, there's no room for pride. There's no room for pride. It's obnoxious to God. But if you come repentantly, and you come, as it were, on your knees before the high and lofty God of eternity, and accept the verdict that God has said in his word, all are unclean, all are sinners, all have come short of my standard. But then you flee to Christ for mercy and salvation, and you call upon him and receive him. You agree with God about your sin, but accept the Saviour that God has provided. When you do that, you're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say to yourself, does it really work? I tell you it does. Paul says, I was the chief of sinners, but the Saviour died for me. I heard a story once about a rough diamond being absolutely disgusted one day when his wife became a Christian. This man was, I don't know if he was an alcoholic, but he seemed to spend every penny his wife made, and she had two jobs. And every penny she made, he drank. And then she became a Christian. And well, he'd been running away from Christianity, this man, for years, because he'd been brought up in a Christian home and had rebelled against it and went away to join the army, then got discharged dishonourably from the army, and then got married to a young woman and made her life miserable. And early in the 1970s, he went to the pub one night expecting to drown his sorrows, and he'd shouted at his wife and goodness knows what else went on. But he left her in tears, and he went away to the pub and he started to drink, because she'd been trying to influence him for the Lord Jesus. He didn't want to hear it. He started to drink, and then the song came over from the jukebox, and it went like this: it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And the older ones here, it was before my time, but the older ones here will be able to verify this was a hit. You'd hardly believe it. That something with those words would be the top of the charts. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. The big man that night could not get this out of his head, and he put his drink down. And he left the public house, and he went to find his wife, who was breaking her heart on her knees, praying for the big man. And he gets down beside her, and he says, I want to tell you something, sweetheart. Listen to this. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And God saved the big man that night. And they went on to serve God in the city of London, in the London inner city mission for years. They were trophies of grace. Maybe you think you're a wreck of humanity tonight, or maybe you think you're religious and educated and sophisticated and full of the wisdom of this world. Whatever you think of yourself, God can save you and meet your need in Christ this evening if you come to him as a sinner, if you come to him repentantly and place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and receive the resurrected, glorified Christ into your life. I'll tell you, he'll change your life, he'll meet your need, he'll save your soul, he'll give you everything that God wants to give individuals, because God is a God of liberality and a God of bounty and a God of blessing. May God help you understand you need the Saviour tonight. Listen to the source of true satisfaction and true fulfillment. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul adds, of whom I am chief. May God bless his word. Shall we pray?